Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. After Jesus entered Jerusalem during the last week of his public ministry, the Pharisees, Herodians, and Sadducees argued with Jesus, testing him and trying to find something to accuse him of. However, knowing they are testing him, Jesus exposes their hypocritical sins and constantly proclaims the gospel of truth. In today's text, a scribe who watched all this comes to Jesus and asks him a question. In verse 28, he says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?'" Now, this scribe seems to have asked Jesus a question with good intentions after seeing that Jesus answered well, unlike those who came to test Jesus before. However, in Matthew 22, which records the same incident, he had already asked the question to test Jesus. And if you look at his question, you can also see a problem. The scribe came to Jesus and asked, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" What problem do you see with this question? This scribe asks, "What's the most important commandment among all of God's commandments?" In other words, he thinks there are more important and less important commandments, and he was asking Jesus a question with the idea that he should keep the more important commandment more diligently. For example, if Jesus said that among the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother, is the more important commandment, he would probably keep that commandment more diligently than the other commandments. And he would say that he kept the commandments well and boast of his deeds. The scribe's question is the question of a sinner who wants to boast about his works. We must look at why this is so in connection with other passages in the Bible. Among God's laws, there are no more important and less important commandments where you keep the more important commandments and you do not have to keep the less important commandments. This is because all the laws are connected as one. No matter how small the law is, the essence of the law is the same. Therefore, it makes no sense to say you are keeping the law if you only keep certain ones. Because if you break one law, you break the whole law. James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." The book of James says that all the commandments are important and connected. This means it's not a matter of keeping one and breaking another. If you break even one, you are breaking all of them. This means that no law can be considered less important or neglected. If you break one law regarded as the least important, you also violate the most important law. We must correctly understand God's law. When Adam and Eve sinned by eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that God had forbidden, that seemingly insignificant sin violated all the commandments. When the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was regarded as good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable to make one wise, all the worldly sins of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life were hidden in it. The sin of breaking all the Ten Commandments was committed. By eating the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve did not fear God, took God's name in vain, did not honor God, the true parent, were guilty of murder against God, committed adultery against God, stole from God and were not satisfied with God. So it was a sin that broke all the commandments. This is what Jesus teaches in today's text. These verses summarize all of God's commandments. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The will of God is to know him, love him, and love our neighbors." This summarizes all his commandments, no matter how big or small they may seem. Keeping the commandments without having a proper relationship with God is meaningless, as is breaking even the smallest commandment, which damages our relationship with God and reveals our lack of love for him. God's will is expressed in all his commandments. No commandment is greater than loving him and our neighbors. Therefore, the essence of all the commandments is to know and love God. Everything must start from here. God wants not just blind zeal, but to know and love him. Our problem is not that we lack in zeal, but that we do not know God and do not love him. And that is the reality of hopeless sinners. And Jesus came to save us from this sinfulness. Jesus came to save us from all sins and give us a new heart to know and love God. And God is letting us know that he wants obedience that comes from loving him. Jesus tells us this in John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This passage tells us how we keep God's commandments. As we continue to see, the scribe who came to Jesus and asked him a question later realized the true meaning of Jesus' words. True Christianity is about knowing and loving God and living joyfully, obeying his commandments. It's not about just following his commandments without knowing and loving him. It's not about seeking recognition for good works or receiving rewards. The scribe, however, had a different intention when he asked Jesus the question. He was seeking recognition and rewards for his works. We must understand this difference. Just because we believe in the gospel doesn't mean God's commandments are no longer important. It's not acceptable that children live without respecting their parents. It's not okay to live lying, stealing, murdering, or being greedy. We all believe it's essential to live by keeping God's commandments. We all believe living by God's commandments is essential. But why do we believe that? Is it because we are grateful for God's love and joyfully want to obey his will? Or are we following God's will because we fear punishment or desire rewards? Are we doing it to show off and gain recognition from others? We should reflect on our motives for obeying God's commandments and ensure that we do it out of love and reverence for God, rather than fear or selfish ambition. In today's text, Jesus explains the importance of following God's law and why we must keep the commandments. However, some people argue that since Jesus has already saved us, we no longer need to follow God's laws. This view is incorrect. Jesus himself emphasized the need to obey God's commandments, but he also taught us to follow them out of love and reverence for God. Those who are saved and go to heaven are people who love and know God deeply. They joyfully obey his will and live according to his commands. But if we follow God's law only to show off our works or to impress others, it is considered a sin of arrogance that God rejects. So we must keep God's commandments out of love and respect for Him, or else it is all in vain. God desires us to love Him and obey Him through a proper relationship and fellowship. However, due to sin, this relationship and fellowship were broken. But Jesus came to restore it and make it eternal. This eternal relationship and fellowship is what we will experience in heaven because of Jesus' sacrifice. To love God and live according to His will while loving our fellow human beings is the essence of all the laws. This same message is conveyed in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The Old Testament teaches us that the love of God and the love of neighbors are the most important commandments. These teachings can be found in Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, and are considered the foundation of all the law and prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. These passages state that to truly know God, understand what He has accomplished, and love Him, we must engrave His words into our hearts, teach them to our children, and live in His obedience. This is God's pleasing will, contained in all of His commandments. Specifically, when we correctly understand God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as three distinct persons in one God, and when we believe in the grace and love of salvation that comes from the triune God, we can establish a proper relationship with God. True worship involves living in love and obedience to God. Above all, because God saved us through Jesus and made us His children, we can joyfully live as His children, loving and obeying Him, just as Jesus did. In other words, loving God means living with love for our neighbors and brothers. From the beginning, we were created in the image of God and called to participate in a loving relationship and fellowship with a triune God. This is why God created us to live a life filled with love for Him and has saved us so that we can continue to love Him. Heaven is a place where we can live and love God wholeheartedly. Being like Jesus also means loving God perfectly, just as Jesus did. Growing in faith also means growing in our love for God. If we forget this fundamental truth, Christianity can take on a completely different meaning. Without love for God, everything else is meaningless. Even if we speak with the tongues of angels, possess all knowledge, and have the zeal to sacrifice our whole lives, it is nothing if it is not rooted in love. The teachings of Jesus on God's commandments, as mentioned in today's text, are essential to our lives. We must understand that these commandments also contain a message of salvation. In heaven, we will love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our love for God will lead us to love our neighbors and brothers as ourselves. This is how we are saved, and this is what God commands us to do. He does not ask us to do something He has not already accomplished. Thus, we will be perfected in the life of Jesus. Jesus himself loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we must follow in his footsteps. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Dear saints, we must love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God's love for us is unfathomable, and he proved it by giving his only Son, whom he loved deeply. As we look forward to the promised heaven, we are filled with excitement about the prospect of loving God, Jesus, and each other with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even now, we can experience the joy of loving God and our fellow believers, although we know that our life on earth is not yet perfect. Our love will be perfected in heaven, where we will experience the beauty of God's love in its fullness. This is why he commands us to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and verses 19 through 21. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. When we know the love of God revealed on the cross of Jesus, it leads us to love God and follow his commandments. This love also extends to love our neighbors. Therefore, loving our neighbors and brothers, in essence, is loving God. These commandments cannot be separated from one another. This message is reiterated in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. When we love God, we happily obey his commandments and show love towards his children, our brothers and sisters. The proof of God's love is seen our love for others. This means we can confirm our love for God through our love for others. If we don't love others, we don't truly love God. Following God's commandments is not burdensome because his love guides us, rather than the idea of receiving rewards or punishment. On the other hand, God's commandments may seem difficult to follow because we do not love God enough. It can be challenging to love our neighbors because we do not love God. According to the Bible, if we truly love, then obeying God's commandments would not be a burden, just like how we feel when we do something for our beloved child. We still find joy no matter how hard it may be. The reason why we may perceive everything we do as Christian to be a burden is because we lack a deep love for God. Therefore, we should pray to God to help us love him more. In the Bible, we see that believers who have true faith, regardless of how big or small it may be, know the love of God, and as a result, they love God, follow his commandments, and show care and kindness to their fellow human beings, no matter how big or small the act may be. These are the confessions of true believers. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 73, 25, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. John 21:17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. After Jesus rose from the dead, he met Peter and asked him if he loved Jesus. Peter was hesitant to answer because of his past sins, notably denying Jesus. However, Jesus' love and forgiveness compelled Peter to confess his love for Jesus. Jesus then gave Peter a commandment to care for his sheep, Peter's brothers and fellow believers in Jesus. Peter obeyed this commandment and spent his life loving, protecting, and leading Jesus' church and followers until his death. It's not just Peter who has received the grace and love of salvation from Jesus. The church is a gathering place for all those who love Jesus. It's a place where people who know, believe, and have experienced the love of Jesus come together and confess their love for him. Our church is named Theophilus, which means those who love God. It would be shame to have such a name and not have any love. Through the gospel of the cross, we come to know the love of Jesus, love him, love God, and live together by following God's commandments and loving one another. As we reflect on the gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus has taught us in many ways about a life of loving and obeying him through the gospel of the cross. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Mark chapter 9, verses 35 through 37. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. He tells us to live for the gospel, serve our brothers, and live with forgiving love for one another. This is the essence of Jesus' life and the love he bestowed upon us first. And because we have received that love, we should live to testify of it. This way, the glory of Jesus, not ours, is revealed. Dear believers, Jesus knows very well that we are still lacking and weak in understanding the love of Jesus and in loving Him. Nevertheless, He wants us to confess that we love God. This isn't because we are good at living such a life, but because the love of God and the love of Jesus, as revealed in the gospel, are so great that they compel us to make this confession. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This passage speaks of the love of the cross that has been given to us. When we taste and enjoy the infinite, eternal, and unchanging love of God and Jesus, a love that cannot be separated by anything, we cannot help but confess that we love God and Jesus. This love of God compels us to repent of our sins, obey His will with love, and live lovingly towards our brothers and sisters. Let us pray that this grace will be bestowed upon all of us, and that our faith in Jesus and the gospel will grow and bear fruit through love. Next Sunday, we will take a closer look at the love of neighbors mentioned in verse 31.